And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Wonderful things today. We're going to be revealing some secrets. About once a month, we have a volume of secrets. And boy, have we got them today. A marriage among the Word of Faith ministers. Word of Faith, the prosperity preachers. Or at least a purported relationship going on between two of them. And sort of an interesting situation. We're going to be looking at Al Gore and Bill Clinton, our old friends, former president and vice president. Well, Gore's daughter got married a couple years ago, and now Bill Clinton's daughter is marrying. Who's the lucky groom? That will be very interesting, I believe. Well, it seems that there are no freedoms or rights anymore in terms of students in high schools or colleges or such who want to have a organization for Christian youth. You've got to allow Muslims and Hindus and atheists to join. That's according to the Supreme Court. We'll be talking about that. Evidently, a top former Defense Department specialist and teacher now says, yes, indeed, Israel bombed the U.S. Liberty ship. And not only that, Israel and its Mossad spy agency did 9/11, working in cahoots with the American CIA, FBI, and the Bush administration. We'll talk about that. Well, Obama has a new budget director, head of the Office of Management and Budget. Now, the last one was Peter Artsakh, a Jewish man. All the money people around Obama are Jews. I wonder if the new budget director is a Jew. I mean, Jews only make up about 2% of America's total population. Peter Artsakh was a Jew. What are the chances that the new one is a Jew? And then, of course, I want to talk about Obama's new family, let's just call it a senior policy advisor to the president on the diets and the food supply of Americans. The diets and the food supply of Americans. There's a new senior policy advisor. And I think you'll be interested to find out where he comes from. Then, should George Bush and Dick Cheney be indicted for war crimes? Well, Judge Andrew Napolitano has a particular opinion on that. So you see, we've got a lot of things on here. Researchers discovering water on the moon. Water on the moon. Goldman Sachs, you may have read this in the news, but I'd like to comment a little bit about it. Reveals where all those billions of dollars in the TARP money that it received from the government, where they went to. Goldman Sachs, that is. Seems that Ron Paul, one of his top aides and advisors, has an opinion on who killed JFK. We'll look into that. So you see, we're just beginning now, aren't we? We've got a lot of things to look at. First, I want to mention, of course, the very merry, merry good news that two of the top preachers in the Word of Faith movement are going together and may or may not get married. Now, a few months ago, Benny Hinn announced that he was divorcing his wife of many years. Benny Hinn, you know, is the faith healer. Constantly goes on Trinity Broadcasting Network and probably now America's top faith healer. You know, Oral Roberts is too old and all the others are out now. So Benny Hinn has taken the mantle and filled stadiums full of people. Of course, we did a video about Benny Hinn and his compadres called The Blind and the Dead, telling the truth about Benny Hinn and his teachings. But he divorced his wife. Now, on that video, you'll see his former wife and he at one of their crusades. And she was a preacher as well as him. He allowed her to preach. And oh, she was a real great preacher. I mean, she was inspiring. And the clip that you'll find on the blind and the dead, and we're going to offer it a little bit later, that video on our website, not only on our website, but it's offered there now, but right here on this radio program. But she stood before this entire huge audience in the auditorium, and the wife of Benny Hinn stood up and said, God wants you to have a Holy Ghost enema right up your, well, she, ASS, well. I never heard that, the Holy Ghost wanted me to have, or that God wanted me to have a Holy Ghost enema right up my, but that's what she said people should have. Well, I don't know if she got one of those or not. I don't think so. It wasn't from the Holy Ghost. But whatever she got, it ended in a divorce for her and Benny Hinn. Now Benny Hinn's found somebody else, evidently. According to news reports, he and another Word of Faith teacher, Paula White, she's very popular on television, attractive, slim, blonde. She's a preacher too, a woman preacher. And she constantly preaches, you know, think positive, speak positive, and God will send you boatloads of money. Well, now God evidently, or her God, whoever that is, has sent her a new man because Paula White and her husband broke up a few months back amid rumors that she had found another guy and was having an affair. Now, let's see. Let's put two and two together. Benny Hinn divorced his wife. Paula White divorced her husband. And now they're reported getting together. They have a lot in common. I think they should do very well together. Well, by the way, I just got a catalog. Christian Advance. It's all about the new books coming out in the Christian community. It usually goes to Christian bookstores, but they're kind enough to send me a copy. And to talk about the Word of Faith prosperity preachers, bunch of new books from them. Dr. Creflo Dollar, he's a black man in one of these preachers that say that God wants you to be wealthy. And if you're not wealthy, it means because you don't have faith. You're a loser because you don't have faith that God wants you to be rich, so you cannot attract money. Okay, that's what Dr. Dollar, I wonder if that's his real name. Sounds very appropriate, though. Dr. Dollar, that's what he preaches, and now he's got a new book called Winning in Troubled Time, in Troubled Times. There you go. You can win in troubled times. Just speak the word and it'll be done for you. You know, the Apostle Paul was thrown in prison one time, among a number of times. And you know, he wrote a letter from prison and he said, you know, I'm happy whatever my condition is, knowing that God is my companion. There he was, and listen, prison conditions were a lot worse back then, my friends. Cold, there was no heating, there was no air conditioning. They probably fed you some roach-infested gruel soup or something. But he wrote and said, I would like two things. Would you please be kind enough to bring me some books to read? And, of course, a cloak. It's very cold in here. That's all he asked for. Why, obviously, the Apostle Paul was a colossal failure. Of course he was. That's what Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, who's gone on to be with whoever is his Lord, and Dr. Creflo Dollar and Paula White and Benny Hinn would say, Paul was a supreme loser. How did he get thrown in prison? Didn't have faith. Why was he suffering? Had no faith. And he was begging for people to send him, his friends, to bring him a cloak, in other words, a coat, and a few books to read. What a miserable loser. Well, all he had to do was decree him and said, I believe I'm going to get a cloak. I'm going to have heating in this place. Why? In fact, I'm going to be released from this jail cell by noon today, and I'm going to go live in a huge mansion, and I'm going to have slaves to take care of me, and I'm going to have riches and food and everything. I'm going to have food that would defy imagination, and I'm going to have clothes like a king. I decree it. So be it. So mote it be, say the masons and the witches. I suppose that Paul could have done those things. Except he knew something that these word of faith prosperity preachers don't know. And listen to me very carefully. Jesus said, blessed are you when men persecute you for my name's sake. Oh, I suspect that Paul recalled that saying of Jesus. And there he was being blessed in prison. He said, I have discovered that I can be content whatever my condition is. That's true happiness. That's true joy. There are people, no doubt, listening to my voice today that are in dire trouble in their jobs. Maybe they've lost their jobs. Maybe they've got relationship problems. Maybe they lost all of their savings in some stock market deal or whatever. Maybe their cars broke down. They can't even go out and look for a job. They owe money on their mortgage. They're sick, hurting. Listen, friends, listen to me. God is greater than any problems you may have. And you know what? All you have to do is believe in Him. Can He heal you of all these things? Can He lift you up from your current condition? He can, but He might not. Does that mean you're not blessed? Doesn't mean it at all. You know, as I'm talking to you today, I have some great pain in parts of my body from a condition they call shingles. It's inflammation of the nerves. I've had it about 6 or 7 weeks. Very painful. Last night I couldn't sleep at all. Well, I did get a few winks. But I woke up 3 or 4 times in the night and had a huge rash going up my legs, and my arm has evidence of it as I'm sitting here right now. The rash and on my torso, nothing that I do can help. Incredible stabbing pains. And all I could think of in my pain last night and today, while I'm talking on this program today, I'm in great pain from this disease thing, this inflammation on the nerves. Now, let me tell you, all I could think about was how blessed I was by God. How many people are worse off than me? I have food to eat. I have a wonderful wife. Hey, I've even got a little white dog that goes to bed with us, sleeps by our feet. She's getting old now. She's lost her hearing, some of her sight, but she's a sweet dog. I suggest to you that that dog gives me more pleasure than, well, President Obama has from living in the White House. I suggest to you that God blesses Texmars even in my pain. And you know what? I came to the office today. I called into my assistant, Michelle, and said, tell Jerry, Jerry's our broadcast engineer, tell Jerry I'm going to come in. I'm going to do a program. Wanda said, are you sure you want to go in? Jerry said, you can come in tomorrow if you're feeling better tomorrow. I said, oh, no, no, I've got to do that radio program. I'm coming in today. I'm going to do that radio program. So I'm doing it. God is greater than any problem that I may have. In fact, you know, it may be true that God is closer to us in times of adversity. When we're just riding high, sometimes we don't look toward God. We think we can do things on our own. Maybe God, you know, I'm not a perfect man. Maybe God says, Tex, I'm going to show you, you need me. I'm going to show you your weaknesses. Even inflictions in the body, you say, God wouldn't do that to his saints. I didn't say he did it, but maybe he removed a little bit of the hedge of protection. Maybe the viruses that were in my body, it caused them to shoot forth and to ravage me. I'm in a lot of pain right now, but it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't even matter if God does not heal me. I still believe in him. I still trust him. I thank him for all things, good and bad. Because it says in the Bible, my friends, and you know this, you've heard this, that all things work together for good for him or her who love the Lord. All things, not just the good things. Everything will work to my benefit. And someday I'll have an immortal body. I don't know what substance it'll be. I deeply believe it will not be flesh and blood. Because the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It'll be a non-diseased, hurting-free body. I look forward to that day. So now is just a little temporary span that in retrospect, in looking at the infinite universe of time, is nothing. It's like a snap of your fingers and you're gone. James said in the Bible, he said, our bodies are like vapors. Our lives are like vapors. You see it and it dissipates. And then James said something very interesting, and this will crush all the word of faith preachers and their lies. He said, don't say to yourself, tomorrow I will go to this city or that city and buy a piece of property or do this or that. Don't say, I'm going to do that. Instead say, if it's God's will, I will do this or that tomorrow. If it's God's will, I will be back next week for this program, even if I'm in pain. I have a will. It's pretty strong, but it cannot sometimes defeat the pain in my body. But God has a will, and he wanted me to be here today. So I'm here. And I'm smiling. Wanda says, I don't understand how you can be so pleasant and smile and laugh, and I know you're hurting. We've already seen three different doctors for this, and none of them really did any good, although they were wonderful people. Don't get me wrong. There's just not much can be done for it, they say. I'm not complaining, though. I'm relating it to you. I'm telling you about it. But I told Wanda, I'm not going to be a complainer and a whiner and a moaner. I'm a happy person. I wake up every morning happy, even in pain. Friends, you can succeed in life even in what the world says is failure. You think about that. God has different standards of victory than the world does. Some would say Jesus failed in his mission. He preached for 3 years, only had 12 converts. One of them turned out to be a devil, Judas. What a loser Jesus was. Oh, yeah? That's what the world says. I'd like to hear from you, dear friend. What do you think? Was Jesus a loser? Was the Apostle Paul a loser? You know what my opinion is. You know what the truth is. But what say you, dear Christian friend, about that? All right. Let's move on here. Hey, here's a pleasant letter. Brings a smile to my face. Nice friend Dennis writes me and says, dear Tex, I am incredibly set back in my chair over several of your latest teaching CDs, especially the one called Jesus and the Talmud. Absolutely spectacular. Well, thank you very much. He goes on to talk about the CD Planet Petroleum, where I reveal the truth that America and the world has plenty of oil, so much so that we'll never run out. It's continually being replenished under the ground. What a marvelous earth God created. It's not marvelous in itself, but because of the creation of it by God. He makes some pretty good things, doesn't he? So what do you think about that? Okay, I'm asking, you know, Jerry, I'm asking the folks, well, faith, I like to hear from people. I do. I read every email that comes in here. Jerry knows that. And when I'm homesick, Jerry's good enough. He gets on the internet on our website there and in our email page, and he sends me all the emails at home. So even if I'm sitting at home sick, I can read all my emails, all my letters from my friends, a few from my enemies. Although they may think they're my enemies, but they're not my enemies at all. You know? And if they don't watch out, I'll turn them into friends. And boy, then they're really going to be in trouble. Right? Hey, you know, the Supreme Court did one good thing this year. It confirmed the Second Amendment, people's rights to own weapons, guns. Good for it. But wait. You can't trust this old slimy Supreme Court. And of course now, this Elena Kagan, a lot of Republicans are going to vote for her, this Jewish lesbian, and a lot of, and almost all the Democrats will. So the Supreme Court can only get worse. But in this case, Christian Legal Society versus Martinez, or Martinez, what a sick, crummy decision this was recently by the Supreme Court. You see, a university had a Christian student organization that met there regularly. You know, universities across America have had Christian groups. And it gives Christian young people an opportunity to meet together, to pray together, maybe to read the Bible together, to discuss common problems, to talk about Jesus. Well, evidently this university told the students that they would have to start allowing atheists and Hindus and Buddhists and others into their, to become members of their organization, or they couldn't be a campus organization. Now, this is very strange. It's a Christian group. Now, obviously, the Christian group probably would like to have some Hindus and Buddhists and others. But you know what usually happens when you do? You can, if you allow them to be visitors, that's great. But if you allow them to be members, then they might just decide to take over your organization just out of spite, out of meanness. I remember one group of Christian young people that I was familiar with. They had open membership. And you know what? One day an local atheist group got together and sent about 28 atheists down there. And the atheists stood up, and there was only about 15 Christian young people that came to that particular meeting. The atheists all stood up and said, we want to vote on some things. First of all, we'd like to expel all the Christians that are here. Well, they had open membership. 28 atheists, 15 Christians. The meeting ended with the 15 Christians all being expelled from their own organization in its takeover by the atheist. That's just like churches today, friends. Churches are made up of Christians. Born again Christians. Should be that way. And they want Hindus and Buddhists and the atheists and the unsaved to come and be their guest so they can hear the gospel. Nothing wrong with having a Hindu come to your church. I think it's a wonderful thing. But you can't let them join the church. Then they're going to be voting on the rules and the laws and the laws of the church. And they're going to use their Hindu rules for that. Their Hindu ethics, which are far different from the Christian ethics. You can't allow witches to be members of your church because they worship the goddess and Pan, the horned god of the forest, meaning the devil. How can they legitimately take part in the affairs of your church? Yes, invite witches to come. But you can't let them control the church through membership. Friends, that only makes good sense. And by the way, the local Buddhist temple here in Austin, Texas, would not let me become a member either. Once I entered, they said, Tex Mars, get out. You're not a Buddhist. I said, yeah, but I've come to pray for you. I've come to bring Jesus and his spirit. Get out. That's what they'd say to me. Doesn't mean I can't go on public land, pass out tracts, have my Bible and preach to them. But they probably wouldn't let me go inside the Buddhist temple and preach. They'd kick me out. That's their right to. This is planet Earth. Till Jesus comes, you can do anything you want to. But not if you're a Christian. Here comes the hammer. The Supreme Court has ruled that a Christian student organization must open its leadership and voting membership to those who disagree with the group's faith, or even those who refuse to abide by its code of conduct. So Christian groups in universities and high schools and such can now be led by Muslims or people who totally disregard biblical instruction. And the Supreme Court has ruled such. It's the end of Christian organizations in education. Again, they took prayer out. They took the Bible out. Now you can't even be with other Christians in a Christian setting. Thank you, you devil Supreme Court. Well, we go from the Supreme Court and its crummy decisions that violate, by the way, over 200 years of American jurisprudence and constitutional law. To this item, President Obama has nominated a new budget director. Peter Artsakh has left the administration. But Obama went out and searched all of America for another good one to take over as budget director. And you know, it's just a coincidence that like Mr. Artsakh, this man, Jacob Lew, L-E-W, is Jewish. Now, is that it? Only Jews know how to handle the people's money? I guess so. Either that, or they're just good at handling money, or because Obama is controlled by the Jews, the White House is full of them, they want to make sure that Jews in America get every plug nickel that they can get. They want to make sure that the billions of dollars going in aid money and for armaments for Israel keep rolling. Jacob Lew, taken over the position vacated by another Jew, Mr. Artsakh. Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. On a interview on a talk show with host Mark Glenn, a good friend of mine, and Phil Torney, Dr. Alan Sobrowski, director of studies at the U.S. Army War College, and by the way, he's Jewish. Dr. Alan Sobrowski is Jewish, but like a minority of other Jews, thank God he's an honest man. Well, in this interview on the radio, Sobrowski, who was formerly, by the way, he's a true patriot, former Marine Corps man, and he was director of studies at the U.S. Army War College. Now, friends, that's where the colonels and generals go to learn war tactics and strategy of the U.S. Army. This is a high-level teaching position by Dr. Alan Sobrowski. He said absolutely he has investigated, researched. Not only did the nation of Israel bomb the USS Liberty ship, but they did 9-1-1. Wow. Thank you, Dr. Alan Sobrowski. I'm so appreciative of your honesty and your courage as well. Well, what is Obama cooking up now? What's going on here? Well, you know they've got all these czars. You know, finance czar, czar for this, czar for that in the Obama White House. Well, now they've appointed a food czar. Yeah, to watch what you eat. Hey, this is the nanny state. They're watching what we eat. And they want to make sure we don't get obese and all these things and we eat healthy and so forth. So there needs to be a food czar. So Obama has appointed a man and made him a senior policy advisor. Who is this man that's going to be watching over our food supplies? Why? It's the Obama's family chef. The guy that works down in the kitchen. He's a chef, but he's been promoted. From being just the old chef in that hot old kitchen, he's going to now wear a nice suit and tie and go work up in the White House offices and be the food czar of America. The health food czar. His name, Sam Kass. K-A-S-S. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Sam Kass, who will be watching your food supply. He could get into your cupboard and check what you've got hoarded there. Mr. Kass, the food czar at the White House. Senior policy advisor. Tell you more about Mr. Kass when we return in just a moment. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. And I am yours truly, Tex Mars. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, I mentioned in my program today our video, The Blind and the Dead. In this video, you will see clips of the top television evangelists, especially the Word of Faith teachers, these prosperity gospel men, and women, and you will see things that will absolutely astonish you about Kenneth Copeland, Paul Crouch, Hal Lindsey, Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts, on and on. Absolutely shocking information. The blind and the dead, you will see them in what they say. You will see them do some strange things. You will see church services and huge crusades by these word of faith gospel teachers. You'll see men being led around on dog with dog collars and leashes. And they're actually going to be walking, kneeling or crawling on all fours, barking like dogs, woo, 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 in church. Men with dog collars being led around in front of the altar, barking like dogs. You'll see a woman that gets up to the microphone at a large church down in Florida, and she says, God has told me to howl like a wolf. And so she goes, ow, right there in church. Things you've never imagined could occur in churches. Absolute outrageous. And yet the people roar in laughter and cut up and fall off their seats. They're so happy to see it. Friends, if you've never believed in the devil and his powers, you will after seeing this video, The Blind and the Dead. Now, after each segment, I come back and tell you what the Bible says about that. So you'll hear what the Bible has to say about all of these strange events. You've got to have this video. Have a little party over. You know, a truth party. Bring some friends over to your house or apartment. Show them this. Shocking. The blind and the dead. Because the Bible talks about the fact that there is a literal congregation of the dead. And of course, Jesus says, let the blind alone, because eventually the blind will lead the blind and they'll both fall into the ditch. You need this video very badly. The Blind and the Dead, $25, 60 minutes. Ask for it in either DVD or VHS, the old format. I think we have both. DVD, of course, is the most popular format now. As for The Blind and the Dead, $25. Please include $5 for the shipping and the handling. We'll get it right out to you. The Blind and the Dead, $25, $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30 postpaid. Write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or just phone us toll-free during the work week, 1-800-234-9673. That's in the United States and Canada. 1-800-234-9673. Ask for The Blind and the Dead. Or go to powerofprophecy.com. Jerry, I think our new newsletter is going to be up. I think this week it's maybe already up. And the newspaper is astonishing. Two feature articles this month about the hidden conspiracy behind the BP oil derrick explosion. You'll discover that that derrick was intentionally blown up. Who did it, where they came from, why they did it, and how it all goes together with the New World Order's plot for the leveling, the demolition of the United States. You gotta get to my website, powerofprophecy.com, and click on those articles about the BP oil disaster. You'll also see how the Rothschilds are involved. Obama's involved. Red China is in thick in this thing. And the nation of Israel is. Oh, what a cook's brew. Talking about the White House chef. Well, there's some Illuminati chefs brewing up some dirty old food too. And I want you to know all about it, so you'll know what's happening to you and your family in these troubling times. And you'll be able to order The Blind and the Dead there on powerofprophecy.com, along with many of our other products, including the book Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed, by my good friend Victor Thorne. He's the guy, by the way, that wrote the book Israel Did 9/11. You might want that book. Just find out about it on our website, powerofprophecy.com. The book Israel Did 9/11, or front man, but especially my video, the classic video, Exposure of the Televangelist and the Word of Faith Preachers, the Blind and the Dead. Now let's return to our regular program. And we're talking about some secrets today. Hey, you know, there's one guy on Fox News Channel that I admire. I really do. Amazingly. I don't think he's going to be on Fox News Channel very long. He's a paid contributor. He comes on there and gives his opinion sometimes. He even has his own show on television. And I watched it a couple times. It's very, very good. Judge Andrew Napolitano. He has a new book out. I'm going to get it and read it. It's called Lies the Government Told You. Lies the Government Told You. And listen, one thing about Judge Andrew Napolitano of New Jersey, it's no holds barred with this guy. He tells the truth about Bush and Cheney. He tells the truth about Obama and Biden. He's bipartisan exposer. I like this guy. I do. Well, he was interviewed by Ralph Nader, the Ralph Nader, the famous Ralph Nader, on C-SPAN, Book TV. Ah, yes. And he was asked about President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. And he said, yes, they should have been indicted as criminals for torturing, spying on Americans, and arresting Americans without warrants. They need to go to prison if they're found guilty, he says. Wow. Isn't that something? Bush and Cheney ought to be behind bars. And this is a guy who works for Fox. Or maybe by the time you hear this, he used to work for Fox. It could definitely happen. Hey, the Holocaust is getting very big. You know, I read a book by a guy named Weintraub a year or two ago. It was entitled The Holocaust Dogma. Very interesting book. Mr. Weintraub says that, and by the way, the book's out of print now, but he said the Holocaust, or the supposed Holocaust of World War II, the Nazis and the Jews, has now reached the level of religious sacredness. It is now an official part of the Jewish religion. If you don't believe in the Holocaust, exactly as they said it happened, 6 million Jews died in gas chambers and so forth, you know, and lampshades being made of Jews' bodies, and their bodies being used to make soap and all that stuff, most of which are not true. But if you don't believe them anyway, then you're a horrible, terrible anti-Semite, Holocaust denier. Now, Oliver Stone, the movie director, who gave us, you know, the movie JFK, revealing some of the truths about the JFK assassination. You remember that with Kevin Costner, I think it was, played New Orleans District Attorney James Garrison in that movie. Well, evidently, Oliver Stone has a new series coming up on Showtime about the secret history of the world. It's going to be a 10-part series. I may have the title wrong, but basically that's it. Secret History. Oliver Stone, the Jewish movie director from Hollywood, is going to have that 10-part series. And at a press conference recently, he was asked about the first one of the 10 episodes on Showtime, the cable network, coming up. And he said something amazing. Let's see if I can find that, because it's so astonishing. First of all, Stone said that he's going to tell the truth. He says that the history we have now, because the media is controlled by Jews and Hollywood is controlled by Jews, the movie and TV industry, that we do not have true history. Our history is all messed up. He used another word for being up, but I don't want to use on air here. But he says that the United States people, their public opinion is focused on the Holocaust, what we believe about the Jewish Holocaust, so-called. What we believe that, he said, as a result of the perversion of the press, he calls it the Jewish domination of the media. And he says, we don't even really know the truth about Adolf Hitler and Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin. And so he wants to tell us the truth. There is a major Jewish lobby in the United States, Stone said. They are hard workers. They stay on top of every comment. It's the most powerful lobby in Washington. Wow. He also said more Russians suffered in World War II than Jews suffered. Now, friends, that is true. World War II statistics show that 25 million Russians lost their lives. And even if you believe everything that the Jews say about the Holocaust, that would only be 6 million. So four times as many Russians lost their lives in World War II. And that's what Oliver Stone was saying. But you can't say that. You can't say anything negative about Jews. And not even if you're Jewish, like Oliver Stone is. By the way, he says that Israel, said Stone, has distorted United States foreign policy for years. Wow. Americans don't even know the full story about Iran, he said.
Uh-huh.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, Oliver Stone told the truth. But the truth is unacceptable. Did you know that there are countries in Europe and a few other places in the world, if you say things like this, they'll put you in prison for being a Holocaust denier? If you deny there were 6 million who died in the Holocaust of World War II, if you say there were only 5,999,999, they can put you in prison. In Germany, in Austria, in France, and a few other countries. Well, predictably, Mr. Stone realized very quickly he was in trouble up to his neck. All the Jewish organizations came out fighting mad. They're fighting mad. You see, the Holocaust is a non-touchable. It's like the holy sacred cow with the Hindus. You can't say these kinds of things. And so, Ari Emanuel, who's really the top Hollywood agent today, he came out and demanded. In fact, he called Showtime's head of Showtime, and Ari Emanuel, who just happens to be the White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel's brother, and Ari is, as I said, the top Hollywood agent today. Ari demanded that Showtime Network cancel completely Oliver Stone's series. He said, you can't have an anti-Semite doing a series for Showtime. Then another guy, let's get his name here. I want to get it right to you because, do I have it or not? Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, text. Let's get this here because, maybe his name doesn't matter, but he's a billionaire Jewish mogul. He also has contacted, he says, the Showtime Network and the owner and all. And he's demanding also that Oliver Stone's series be canceled. He said it's clear that Oliver Stone has outed himself. He's a horrible anti-Semite. He's a vicious person. He must be kicked out, banned from Hollywood forever for having the audacity to say what he did about the Holocaust and Israel and the Jews. Now, friends, forget the fact that Oliver Stone is himself a Jew. That doesn't matter. They call such people self-loathing Jews, as if Oliver Stone didn't care for himself. I was looking at a publishing catalog recently of new books just coming out this year. Here's an interesting book. It's called The Third Seder, S-E-D-E-R. And it talks about having a festival and a great banquet every year. Jews should do this to mark the anniversary of the Holocaust. That's right. They want a religious day of observance by Orthodox Jews and other Jews to honor the Holocaust. And you know, I can understand that. Look at everything they've gotten from the Holocaust story. The Jews now control America. They control almost every country in Europe. They put Sarkozy, the president of France, in power. And by the way, he's Jewish. They put David Cameron, the new prime minister of England, in power. They put Barack Obama, as you've seen in my video, Rothschild's Choice, in power. Not only that, they now control Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and all of those schools. Now they're in control of the Skull and Bones Society. One of their own, John Kerry, senator from Massachusetts, is one of their Jewish alumni of Skull and Bones. They get everything they want. They're getting over $10 billion of foreign aid money a year from the United States and all the armaments they need to blast the Arabs into oblivion. They own Hollywood. They own our textbook companies. They're the editors of our textbooks for our children. They own our TV networks. They control the medical industry. They run the pornography and the drug industries. I mean the narcotic and illegal drugs, by the way. Oh, they've come a long, long way. And people's sympathy for them of the terrible thing that supposedly happened in the Holocaust. Now, friend, I know for a fact that many Jews were taken to camps by the Nazis. The question is, did 6 million really die? I don't believe so. New evidence shows us that wasn't true. Now, if one died, it's too many. But I don't like liars no matter what. I don't like deception. And, of course, they've gotten reparations from Germany. Hundreds of billions of dollars over the years have been paid to the survivors of these camps. Was it wrong to take Jews to camps in the first place? Yes. But it has now become part of the Jewish religion. This year, President Barack Obama became the first president to have a Seder, S-E-D-E-R now, to observe the Jewish Seder. He sat down with Jewish rabbis and other Jews at the White House to have a dinner, a Seder dinner. And they did all the Jewish Hebrew prayers and all this other stuff. And why not? I mean, he's only recognizing the people and the religion that gave him the White House. Okay. Oliver Stone, by the way, after he said this, has apologized. In fact, first he sent out his agent, his Hollywood agent, a man named Rubenstein, a Jew, to apologize. But evidently the Jewish ADL director, Abe Foxman, said, "It's not enough. It's not enough. I need more. More apology." And this guy, Chaim Saban, this Jewish billionaire mogul, he says he's not satisfied with Stone's apology through his agent. So Stone had to come out the next day, that was just yesterday, and apologize a second time. But if he thinks they're finished with him, he's got another thing coming. Now let's just look at this. Remember, Jews only make up 2% of America's population. I mean, out of 7 billion people in the world, there are only 18 or 19 billion Jews in all. I mean, there are more people who live in the state of Texas than the entire Jewish population in the whole world. But boy, are they powerful. Now let's look at it. Jerry Falwell gave a sermon in which he said, according to the scriptures, the Antichrist will be Jewish, will be a Jew. Within days, he was forced to apologize. Now, country and western singer Dolly Parton, she said on the Larry King show one night that she had gone to Hollywood directors and television networks, and she wanted to do a sitcom, a situation comedy series about a Christian gospel singer. And she'd play the Christian gospel singer. She thought it would be a very popular sitcom TV show. But they weren't interested. She said, Dolly Parton now, Miss Parton, she says, you know, they don't want to cast Christianity in a favorable light. And that would have. So they all nixed the idea. Yeah, it's true what she said. But she said, you know, the Jews control the TV shows in Hollywood and everything. No good. It was true, Miss Dolly Parton, but you can't say that. And you know what? Within days, the Jews were on her back. She was frightened to death. Maybe her records wouldn't even get to radio stations anymore because they control most of the entertainment networks. Within days, Miss Parton came on and made a public statement of apology. I'm so sorry if I offended anybody. Marlon Brando, before he died, went on the Larry King show too. He said, you know, you never see any Hollywood shows saying anything bad about the Jews. He said, you can't do good movies about things like that because the Jews control Hollywood. Within days, Marlon Brando came back and called a press conference, and he was literally shivering. He was crying. He was like a big, pitiful, slobbering, shivering creature. I want to apologize. I'm sorry what I said about the Jews. Please forgive me. Jimmy Carter wrote two or three books about how there would be peace in the Middle East if it had not been for the Jews. Israel's prime minister did not want to have peace, said Carter, because Menachem Begin, the prime minister of Israel, had flatly told President Carter privately that the Jews don't even consider the Palestinians and the Arabs human beings. They're like insects to us, he said. We're not going to have peace in the Middle East. He expected Carter to keep quiet about it. It was done in private, of course, that statement. But instead, Carter wrote it in a book and told the whole world. Now, not many people know about that because, well, not too many people read books by President Jimmy Carter. But the Jews noticed it, and boy, they went after him. They went after him in spades. And, of course, Jimmy Carter wants peace between the Palestinians and the Jews. He doesn't want apartheid like the Jews have it now in Israel. And he said so last year. But now he sent out a letter saying he apologizes. I'm so sorry, says Jimmy Carter, if I offended the Jews. He had to apologize for what he said. We know Mel Gibson was arrested for drunken driving. Nobody can go along with drunken driving. But he was arrested by a Jewish policeman. And when he said something about the Jews, it got in all the press. But within days, Mel Gibson and his agent both apologized. We're so sorry. Gibson even agreed to go to racial sensitivity training. And did you know he got a new agent, Hollywood agent, to show how sorrowful he was at saying things about the Jews? Who was his agent? Ari Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel's brother. I want to atone for my sins, says Gibson. But then he made a big mistake. I guess he continued drinking. And he divorced his wife of many years, whom he had several kids with, and he got him a Russian Jewish mistress. Now, the man that hates Jews, supposedly, went out and got a mistress and divorced his wife. And she turned out to be a Russian Jew. Well, he claimed she was a gold digger and recently had a big fight with her. And he beat her up. He knocked out two of her teeth. Now, friends, as far as I'm concerned, that man is worse than an infidel for doing that. God can forgive him, but I don't know if I could. I guess I could, but goodness gracious, that's evil. I don't care if she's Jewish or Gentile. That's evil. But the thing is, I think he was trying to atone. He was trying to show what a good Gentile I am. See, I have a Jewish agent. See, I have a Jewish mistress. But he doesn't have a Jewish mistress anymore after knocking out two of her teeth. And Ari Emanuel will probably make sure that Mel Gibson never gets another gig in Hollywood. His apology means nothing. Falwell, Dolly Parton, Marlon Brando, they all have to grovel on their knees to beg the Jews for forgiveness. Well, I'm Tex Mars, and guess what? I am Mr. Unapologetic. I will tell the truth about Gentiles. I will tell the truth about Jews. I will do whatever the Holy Spirit leads me to do. And Abe Foxman, head of the ADL, you can complain, you can moan, you can groan, you can fly to Austin, Texas, and I'll sit you down in my chair. I'll give you a cup of coffee. I might even feed you a ham steak for lunch. Who knows? But I'm not going to apologize to you. George Bush, you know, once said that only Christians can get to heaven. He apologized to Abe Foxman personally on the phone. That was on front page of the Austin American-Statesman. Governor George Bush, that was before he became president, apologizes to the Jewish ADL. He said he now agrees that Jews can go to heaven even if they don't have Jesus. That was George Bush. But I'm Tex Mars. I'm not going to apologize for telling the truth. By the way, according to Reverend Ted Pike, my good friend at the National Prayer Network. Abe Foxman, head of the ADL, has done it again. He says that 80% of Americans are anti-Semites. 80%. Now, there are 300 million people in America. That means 80% of 300 million. That means there are 240 million anti-Semites in America. They're combing the streets. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. You know, that sounds a little paranoid to me. I think he might be a conspiracy wacko. What do you think? Don't you think so? I do. Wow. Now, I told you I'd tell you about the White House chef, the new food czar of the nanny state. It appears that this man, whose name is last name is Kass, Sam Kass, K-A-S-S, is a Jew. And the reason the Obamas like him is because he brews a whole lot of Jewish meals. They're always kosher in the Obama White House. I'm not kidding you about this. They're always kosher. Sam Kass, a Jewish chef, cooks their food. Now, where did they meet this Jewish chef? It seems that, according to the Obamas, he's been the Obama chef for 20 years. He started in Chicago. Now, remember, Obama lived in a Jewish neighborhood of ritzy Jews right down the street, or actually across the street, from a Jewish synagogue. Obama represented a Jewish neighborhood, not a black neighborhood, in the Illinois legislature. And they had a family chef, a family cook back then. His name, Sam Kass, a Jew. When they came to the White House, they brought Sam Kass there. He worked in the White House kitchen. Got all that good old kosher food going. But now he's been elevated. He's wearing a suit. Probably makes, I don't know, probably $150,000, $200,000 a year. No longer is he the White House chef. Now he's the food czar of America. Watching our diets. Making sure your food is safe. I feel so much better when I go to the food store, don't you? Of course you do. It has to be true. Well, anyway, let's go on. Hey, I like this one. University of Texas discover water on the moon. Why, proportionally, there's as much water on the moon as there is here on Earth. And there's more water than dirt. Geographers say about the planet Earth. Now, this brings up something very exciting. Think about that. They now say there's all this water on the moon. But do you remember our Apollo moonshot? Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin. They stepped on the moon. They said there's nothing but dust up here. Mounds of dust. You walk on the moon and the dust just flies. Because there's never been any water here for eons, centuries and centuries. It's a dead planet. No water. Of course, since the moonshot of the 1969 era, we've never been back to the moon. You would thought our technology would make it easy. We can zip, zap up to the moon and back every day. But we don't. You know why, friends? Get my video, The Eagle Has Landed. You'll find out we never went to the moon. The Eagle has landed. And now we see NASA has been proven to be a bunch of hoaxers. There's water on the moon. It's not a big dusty place. I mean, friends, don't listen to anything that NASA's space agency says. They're a government agency full of lies. Next thing you know, they're going to be saying the moon is really made of cheese. Buzz Aldrin went up there and ate in its mild cheddar. That'll be the next story out of NASA. University of Texas researchers, thank you for discovering the water on the moon. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Be with us next week and each week. Yes, tune in and discover the power of prophecy.